Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Billboard's Senior Director of Charts.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Executive Digital Director, West Coast.
Happy New Year, Katie.
Happy New Year, Keith.
It's the first time I've actually talked to you since, golly, I don't know when, sometime last year.
It's actually really bizarre. It's been like a real break.
I think we've slacked one another, but like,
yes,
I haven't verbally spoken to you.
No. Correct.
No, not in real time.
We saved it for the podcast.
as always, the Billboard Pop Shop podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, our first show of 2022, we've got so much chart news. And at the top list is the fact that Disney's soundtrack to the animated film Encanto hits number one on the Billboard 200. The first number one soundtrack in over 2 years since Disney's own Frozen 2 hit number one in 2019. And on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart, the Encanto track We Don't Talk About Bruno jumps from number 50 all the way to number 5. Believe it or not, and we'll get into this in a second, it's rare for an animated film soundtrack, even from Disney, to hit number one on the Billboard 200. And Encanto is just the sixth animated film soundtrack to top the list, and the fifth from Disney. So, which of your favorite Disney animated film soundtracks did not hit number one? Well, we'll dive into that in just a moment.
Also on the show, we take a look at the very odd awards landscape so far in 2022, from the Golden Globes going off the grid to the Grammys being postponed to the spring. What does it all mean for the idea of this, you know, winter awards season we've gotten used to? We'll talk about that and much more. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
Okay, let's do the chart chat. First up, the soundtrack to the Walt Disney animated musical film Encanto surges to number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart as the set jumps 7 to 1 in its sixth week on the list. It's the first soundtrack to hit number one in over 2 years since Disney's own Frozen 2 chilled at number one for 1 week on the chart dated December 14th, 2019.
This is very, very big news in my house, Keith. Just FYI. We have not spoken, so you might not know just how much my children are obsessed with this music.
I think your children and all of America's children are obsessed with this music.
All the children of America.
All the children of America. Well, Encanto earned 72,000 equivalent album units in the United States in the week ending January 6th, and that's up 76% compared to the previous week. And of course, this is according to MRC data. Streaming activity of the album's songs drove the majority of that unit sum, and the album's two most popular songs are We Don't Talk About Bruno and Surface Pressure, both of which make big moves on the Hot 100, but more on that in just a second. Last week's number one album, Adele's 30, falls to number two after 6 weeks at number one. Now, I've got oodles and oodles of Encanto information. And if I don't get to all of it, you can always read my story on Billboard.com.
Yes.
So the soundtrack, which has songs or all the songs were written by Lin-Manuel Miranda, was released on November 19th. Before the film was released in theaters on November 24th. And then the movie came out on the streaming service Disney Plus on December 24th, which is likely driving a lot of the attention and promotion and buzz and streams around the movie's soundtrack in the past 2 weeks when it jumped into the top 10 a week ago and then to number one this week. Notably, this is where I start to overwhelm Katie with statistics. Notably, Encanto is kind of a rare example of a number one album that didn't debut at number one.
Yeah.
Encanto actually debuted at 197 on the chart dated December 11th. And then it moved to 162, to 179, to 110, then to 7, and then to 1. The last album to climb to number one, meaning the last album that was a number one album that didn't debut at number one, was the Kid Laroi's F Love on the August 7th, 2021 chart. And it reached number one in its 53rd week following multiple deluxe reissues that added additional songs. That album actually debuted at number eight more than a year before it hit number one.
So it feels like, and you mentioned that it came to Disney Plus, and so that's why a wider audience is now enjoying these songs. It feels like there's nothing weirder to me than listening to a movie soundtrack out of context. And so you really like there are more songs that you want to like revisit after having seen the movie, you know, and knowing the narrative and everything. I know that our coworker, Andrew Unterberger, last week, he kind of saw that these Encanto songs had jumped and decided to listen, you know, to see what the buzz was about. And it was like, what is up with this weird, you know, we don't talk about Bruno song. It's like, you really want to see the movie and know the whole thing. I'm really glad that I got to see the movie before hearing any of the music, because I feel like, you know, hearing it for the first time in the story is how it should be enjoyed personally. Yeah. And I got to see it in the theater as well as then revisit it on Disney Plus when it came out there.
Wow.
Yeah. This is the first movie I've seen, my first pandemic movie in the theater. It was for a birthday party. So the birthday kid had the whole movie theater to himself. And so it's just our friends. And I was obsessed with this movie, like on the spot, seeing it in the theater.
Wow. That is some high praise. And so now you've seen the movie multiple times.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure it will not be the last time either. I mean, we've been listening to it so much. It seems like only a matter of time. The kids are just going to want to put on the, you know, the visual aspect as well and not just listen. So,
Some other fun facts I noted about the soundtrack. As Gary sort of helped me kind of nuance, Gary Trust, the other senior director of charts, reflecting a trend for soundtracks, which can build as buzz for their parent films do, much like we just saw Katie sort of describe, as people goes and sees a film and then they were like, well, I want to get the album. I want to experience the music again, which is what a soundtrack should be doing. Encanto is the first album to debut outside the top 10 and then go to number one at any point later since Frozen 2 debuted at number 15 and later hit number one. And get this, the last album to debut outside the top 40 and go to number one was the soundtrack to The Greatest Showman, which started at number 71 and then later hit number one. So
it's all making sense.
It all makes sense. Now, here's the real wackadoodle statistic. So Encanto debuted at 197. Now, the last album, how about this? There have only been two other albums that debuted between numbers 197 and 200 on the Billboard.
Thanks for not making this a quiz, Katie.
Yeah. On the Billboard 200, which only has 200 titles on it, only. There have only been two albums that debuted between 197 and 200 outside of Encanto that eventually hit number one. Back in 1969, Led Zeppelin's Led Zeppelin II debuted at 199 and then hit number one in its eighth week. And before that, the only album to debut between 197 and 200, aside from the two we just talked about, was The Monkees' Headquarters, which started at 197 on June 10th, 1967, and reached number one in its third week. By the way, the Billboard 200 only became a 200-position chart in May of 1967. We call it the Billboard 200, even though the chart was a shorter chart before then. But, okay. You know, that's nuances and complications. But anyway, that's a lot of information to digest around the soundtrack. But wow, what a week for Encanto on the album chart.
Yeah, I mean, I am not surprised, as you heard my, enthusiasm about it after seeing it for the first time. But, you know, Keith, you wrote about this on Sunday, but it's worth pointing out that Encanto is just the sixth animated film soundtrack to hit number one since the Billboard 200 began regularly publishing back in 1956. And Encanto follows Frozen 2, Frozen, the Curious George soundtrack from Jack Johnson, Pocahontas, and The Lion King, and all, of course, but Curious George were Disney movies.
So, as you've probably surmised, that means some of the most beloved Disney animated films from the studio never saw their soundtracks hit number one. That includes The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, and Aladdin, and Tarzan, and Coco, and Moana, even if we extend our reach to Disney's Pixar studio films, soundtracks from Toy Story, Cars, Monsters, Inc., and all of their sequels, none of them got to number one.
What about, like, the top 10? Did they get to the top 10?
So of all those that I just rattled off, the ones that hit the top 10 were Aladdin, which got to number 6, Tarzan got to number 4, Cars also reached number 6, and Moana got to number 2 in January of 2017. But still,
I was going to say Moana feels like the one that you might guess would hit number 1. So the fact that it was number 2, because it had a similar trend of its songs hitting the Hot 100 when it came out. Like The Rock made his Hot 100 debut with You're Welcome.
And it crested on the chart at the same time a lot of soundtracks usually peak in the early part of the year. Like what we've seen happen with Encanto and Moana happens a lot in January after Christmas, before a lot of the big first quarter releases come out. There's a sweet spot for the first few weeks where soundtracks can flourish. And this was the right time and the right place, because we assume next week The Weeknd's surprise new album, Dawn FM, which came out last Friday, is likely a contender for number one. So like,
yes, I hope Encanto enjoyed its week.
It's moment in the sun, basically.
Yeah. No, I mean, I cannot stress the repeat listenings that we are doing at our house. And that's another thing that's different from those classic soundtracks that you mentioned, like Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin and Little Mermaid, in that there was no streaming. There was no, you know, there was no logging how many times parents were replaying these songs for their children's benefit. And now there is. So we can really like actually register its popularity. And it's very popular with my 4 and 1.5 year olds. So, and the children of America, as we established.
I think Katie is really trying to get across the idea that all they've been playing is the Encanto soundtrack for the past 2 weeks.
Well, so you've seen the movie, right, Keith?
I have. Yep.
So Calvin and I watched it by ourselves at that birthday party in the theater. So poor Dan has been hearing us sing these songs for a month and change, because we saw it early December, and then he watched it for the first time on Disney Plus, and Dan actually liked it, which is good for everybody's sanity.
Thank God. But,
and I think he appreciated the song "Like We Don't Talk About Bruno" a lot more after seeing how it all fits in, and the way the songs. I mean, the thing is, like, just like any Lin-Manuel music, the complicated lyrics, the revisiting of certain themes throughout different songs in the soundtrack, it's like it gets more enjoyable each time you listen. And the way he like changes lyrics around throughout even one song, like Surface Pressure is a great example. You know, it's so catchy, but it's different in every chorus and in every verse. Each word is different. And Calvin and I are like trying to memorize the words and figure out each of the lyrics, because they change and they're also witty and clever, and it's wild. And so it also, like, it just lends itself to repeat listens because of you wanting to pick up every single nuance of each of these songs.
Yeah, just like in Hamilton, where all those songs are so intricate, so detailed, so layered, so many words, that you kind of, one, you kind of need to listen to them repeatedly. Yeah. And then two, you want to listen to them repeatedly.
100%. And it reminds me, I heard that Lin was inspired by Belle, the intro song from Beauty and the Beast, when he did the family madrigal, which really bears out. It's like, you know, you're getting to hear from each or like meet each of the characters like within the song. And that one is the craziest as far as new things we pick up every time we listen to. So anyway, go watch the movie, everybody.
Yeah, go watch the movie. a rousing endorsement from Katie.
Join us in this obsession.
I will quickly rattle off some other chart news, but I do encourage everyone to go to billboard.com/chart-beat. Here are some highlights of what you can read on billboard.com. Adele's Easy On Me goes back to number one on the Billboard Hot 100 for an eighth non-consecutive week. Glass Animals' Heat Waves hits the top five for the first time, jumping to number three. We Don't Talk About Bruno, the song we just talked about, goes from 50 to number five. Elton John and Dua Lipa's Cold Heart, the Panal remix, reaches the top 10 for the first time.
I didn't even know that, Keith. I'm so excited. That's amazing.
And Kodak Black's Super Gremlin hits the top 10 for the first time, climbing 16 to 10. There's tons and tons of action in the top 10 this week on the Hot 100 and on the entire chart, because the chart is readjusting back to normal after the Christmas holiday season, where basically, you know, all the holiday songs that were on the chart last week, including most of the top 10, have all vaporized from the list. So basically, anything that you thought was being held at bay for the past few weeks, well, it's all flying up the chart, including Elton and Dua. Elton is in the top 10 for the first time since January of 1998. There's so much more to say about this, but it's all on billboard.com. Go read it. Go read it. Elton, okay, if you're listening, we would love to have you on the show.
Yeah, I mean, he's such a chart fan. We got to just get him on and geek out about his own chart stats. Honestly, this needs to happen. Speaking of things you might have missed on last season of Pop Shop Podcast, we have to talk about the awards season, or, you know, what used to be the awards season, because it seems like we're in for another very non-traditional year thanks to COVID and many other various factors. So typically the awards season kicks off with the Golden Globes, but they opted for a private ceremony this year after getting massive backlash last year over the lack of any diversity in their membership, and also accusations in an LA Times article that their voters were being wined and dined by certain shows and movies and playing favorites over the years. So it's just a whole Pandora's box of controversy got opened last year for the Globes, and that led to them losing their broadcast partner in NBC. And so they went completely private this year. They had a private event with their membership, zero celebrities, zero, you know, presenters, the whole thing. I mean, it just went off the grid. Keith did not know that the show was happening until he started seeing tweets about it last night, right?
Yeah, I guess it was maybe last night or this morning. I don't know. I just saw some Instagram posts that was like, so-and-so from Pose wins. I'm like, did the nominees even come out? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, there were some nice things that came out, by the way. You're referring to MJ Rodriguez from Pose being the first transgender winner of Best Actress for a TV series. So, there, you know, there's great stories that came out of this very tiny Twitter thread of an award show. They literally tweeted out the winners. It was just beyond bizarre, especially for, I mean, the Globes are such a big deal every year. They're the, you know, they set the table for the Oscars. You know, it's always so much star power, and, you know, Tina and Amy hosting it and Ricky Gervais hosting it. I mean, it's just, it vaporized. It's wild. So we'll see what it ever comes back to. I do remember the year of the writer's strike when it was relegated to like a press conference, basically. But there actually was a live stream that year. Like, they actually streamed it on the internet and sort of read the winners live. That didn't even happen this year. So anyway, that's the Globes. For what it's worth, Billie Eilish and Phineas's Bond theme, No Time to Die, from the movie of the same name, won for Best Original Song. And Hans Zimmer won Best Original Score for Dune. And Steven Spielberg's West Side Story also took home three awards, including Best Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy. So
literally,
there was some big music winners.
Literally didn't even know that until you just told me.
Well, there was a big controversy on Twitter about the tweet that revealed that news, because it said something to the effect of, laughter is the best medicine. West Side Story wins for Best Musical or Comedy. And they're like, what? Like, West Side Story is not a comedy. And so they changed it to, music is the best medicine. Anyway,
sure.
This is how that went down. But moving on to one of Billboard's top priorities every year. We were planning on the Grammys happening this month here in LA on January 31st, but the Recording Academy announced last week that they are officially postponing the show due to the surge of the COVID-19 Omicron variant. And it's supposed to be moved to the spring, quote unquote, but Billboard sources are saying possibly April. April's looking like, I don't know. It's such April. A mess. They're working on venues right now. Billboard reported on Friday that they have a hold on the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. So the Grammys are
moving to Vegas?
Well, they're keeping open their options. I think New York's an option. LA's an option.
It'll just become a Twitter thread.
I hope not. The Grammys were also postponed due to COVID last year from January to March. And I have to say, I think Keith and I both spoke positively about this last year. I really liked how they pulled that show off last year with the outdoor awards portion and then the audience-free performances inside. And I'm wondering if the move this time around had more to do with, like, you know, the week of events around the Grammys. Typically, it's such a big deal. The Clive Davis party, Music Hair's Person of the Year, and all these things that couldn't happen last year. I mean, Music Hair's specifically, that's like their biggest fundraiser of the year. That Person of the Year gala, which is supposed to honor Joni Mitchell this year. They can't put Joni Mitchell inside a room Omicron.
No.
Like, please, God, don't protect Joni at all costs. So it makes you wonder, like, you know, obviously, I think they could pull off the same kind of show they did last year, which they had Beyonce and Jay-Z show up to. I mean, they had Harry Styles. They had Taylor Swift. Like, they could do that again, but maybe it's, like, the events surrounding it. I don't know. Keith, tell me, what do you think?
I mean, it sounds like if they are potentially moving it to Vegas and they are going to wait until potentially April, then it sounds like they have hope that it's going to be a normal show
in
an arena with an audience, with live performances. And maybe they're having to move it back that far because maybe it's hard to get a venue in New York or L.A. in the spring that Staples Center is probably locked up for a while because of sporting events. And the same thing happens with Madison Square Garden, I guess.
I mean, which is why April is a mess of a month. I mean, that is literally when all the, you know, championship series start for basketball, for NHL. I don't know what they're going to do, which is why the MGM Grand makes sense because it doesn't have to deal with the sporting. A sport. This is why T-Mobile is not an option because they have actual sports.
Oh, right. They have a hockey team there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oy vey.
Oy. Yeah. I wish we had more positive news to report on that front. But right now it's kind of a wait and see approach like it is with much else. So we'll keep you posted on, you know, everything that's happening and let you know when they lock in a firm date and obviously cover the Grammys top to bottom whenever they happen.
Oh, man. Okay, well. Now it's time for the chart stat of the week. And it's a quiz, Katie.
I had a feeling when my script was just entirely blank after this portion of the discussion that a quiz, Katie, was on the horizon.
See, that means people know that Katie is not cheating. She doesn't have the script in advance for this
portion of the show. That's correct.
So on the occasion of the Encanto soundtrack hitting number one on the Billboard 200, we're going to play a round of Quiz Katie about soundtracks that have reached the top of the chart.
Okay.
It's a simple quiz. Which of these five soundtracks did not hit number one on the Billboard 200?
You're going five this time. That's a lot. Okay.
I know. I figured I'd expand it a little bit because maybe it's too easy.
No.
Okay, so... we're going to go with, here's your options. Star Wars, the 1977 film, Chariots of Fire, the Batman soundtrack from Prince, Wayne's World, and Howard Stern's Private Parts. Which of those did not go to number one?
My first instinct is Star Wars.
Okay,
and that's what I'm going to say. Yes.
Shockingly, you are correct.
Yeah.
I don't know how did you guess that?
Because I feel like I know about hits, like hit songs from the other ones. And I mean, Star Wars is pretty orchestral. Like Chariots of Fire had a literal hit with that instrumental song, right?
It went to number one on the Hot 100. Yeah, the main theme, the titles. Yeah.
So that's the only thing I was going off of.
Yeah, well, I'll recap this. Star Wars, the soundtrack, spent 3 weeks at number two behind Fleetwood Mac's Rumours.
Okay.
And then Chariots of Fire was number one for 4 weeks. Batman was number one for 6 weeks. Wayne's World was number one for 2 weeks. And Howard Stern's Private Parts, the album, was number one for 1 week in 1997.
Incredible. I think you wanted me to choose Private Parts, but I didn't fall for the trap.
I kind of thought you might guess Wayne's World or Private Parts.
I mean, Wayne's World, I mean, was such a moment. I mean, I've lived that moment. I don't have any, like, personal ties to the Private Parts soundtrack, but, you know.
Most people don't. Howard Stern does, obviously.
Yes.
All right, so there you have it. A little quiz, Katie, about soundtracks that hit number one on the Billboard 200 chart. We've reached the end of our big shoe. Any parting words at the end of our first show of 2022, Katie?
I mean, I look forward to the fall Grammys, the autumnal Grammys. I'm just joking.
Oh, man.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Man, oh, man. All right. So what song should we go out on then?
Oh, man. Wait, what song? What is like the hit song from the Private Parts soundtrack, if any?
Offhand, I don't remember. It was a rock. Okay. It was a rock soundtrack.
Okay. I have to look. I'm going to pick a song from the Private Parts soundtrack right now, because the internet's going to give me the list. Okay. This is so funny. The 90s were funny. I'm going to go with Deep Purple's Smoke on the Water from the Private Parts soundtrack.
We'll go out on that, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye. Smoke.